It's appropriate this morning that we are celebrating God and Country Chapel. That's because this weekend is Veterans Day weekend. Monday is a federal holiday where we celebrate veterans. Since Appalachian Bible College was founded in 1950, military veterans have been part of the college student body, faculty, and staff. So this morning, if you are a military veteran, or if you are currently in the military, or if you were raised in a military home, please stand to be recognized. Thank you. In the year 2018, only 6.5% of all U.S. citizens are military veterans. That means 93.5% of all Americans do not know what it is like to wear a military uniform and be trained to fight and die for our nation. The freedoms we enjoy today in the United States are preserved by a strong military. The price for freedom is high, as there are always those who want to crush us, who want to take our liberties away from us. Troops within the military have always been willing to fight and to die to protect our American way of life. We are free to vote, free to worship, free to succeed in America because our enemies abroad cannot easily reach us. For that, we thank our military veterans. Those who say that we live in a time with no heroes simply do not know where to look. Go to a cemetery and look for the small veterans' flags that fly near the gravestones. They represent all Americans of whatever ethnic background or financial status. Each grave tells the story of a veteran. Some served in peacetime, some served in war, but all veterans had a part in preserving the freedoms that we enjoy today. And few of these veterans would ever call themselves heroes. I'm a veteran of the United States Army. I have served a total of 34 plus years in peacetime and wartime assignments. I have performed 139 death notifications. That means I went to the door of a parent or a spouse and knocked on that door and had to tell them the worst news imaginable, that their loved one had died while in service to the nation. I've conducted over 400 military funerals for service members from the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guard. Some of these military funerals were large formal events with a bugler and a rifle team and a flag folding detail with a large crowd in mourning at the cemetery. Some of these funerals were for a forgotten soldier with no family, as I and the funeral director were the only ones at the gravesite. Some veterans die in training accidents. Some veterans die in war. Some die from diseases. Some veterans die of old age and have rich and fulfilling lives after their military experience. Some veterans die slowly from the inside after experiencing the sights and the horrors of war. Many more have been physically, emotionally, and spiritually wounded. Combat can destroy a person from the inside out. Some veterans have seen things and done things that they feel they could never speak of. A broken soul is a terrible thing to see. I have served as an Army chaplain to World War II veterans in retirement homes throughout the United States, and it has been my honor to know these elderly veterans who fought so bravely at a desperate time in world history. From the World War II battles in Europe and the Pacific, to the mountainous terrain of Korea, to 1,000 rice paddies in Vietnam, to the deserts of Iraq, the rugged terrain of Afghanistan, to the horrors of war in Somalia, Bosnia, and Kosovo, American servicemen and women have lived and fought in miserable, life-threatening conditions overseas, fighting our enemies over there so we would not have to fight them over here. The sights, sounds, and smells of war are terrible. No movie or television documentary can capture the reality of war. How do you describe living through horror? How can you breathe when the smell of death all around you makes you want to throw up? How can you talk about that which gives you an intense feeling of fear, shock, panic, or disgust? One thing I learned quickly about a career in the Army is that combat is loud. It is so loud that it shakes your entire body, vibrates your brain so that it's hard to function. You can suffocate from fear, from panic, from anxiety. I have seen the strongest of men break down after experiencing the atrocities of war. There are some things worth living for, fighting for, and dying for. We live in a world where the United States has many enemies. There are those who wish to enslave us. The freedoms we enjoy daily cause others to wish our destruction. Right now, this morning, there are nuclear and other kinds of missiles pointed at us from our enemies. Under the grace of God, the thing that keeps us safe from our overseas enemies is our military. Freedom and peace are worth living for, fighting for, and dying for. On September 11, 2001, the United States was attacked by Muslim terrorists. Shortly thereafter, I served as an Army chaplain at the Landstuhl Regional Medical Center in Kaiserslautern, Germany. When the injured, wounded, or dying U.S. troops came from the battlefields of Afghanistan and Iraq to Germany, I was one of the chaplains that met them. The bellies of the aircraft opened, and we rushed in to help the wounded any way we could. Some troops died on the plane. Others were missing limbs, crying out to God to die. Some were unconscious. These were the best young men America had to offer. They were white and black and brown. They were from every state in the Union, from Maine to Florida, from West Virginia to California, and every place in between. And they were almost always young, 18 to 25 years old, mostly, the ages of many of the college students here today in chapel. Since Cain slew Abel in the book of Genesis, people have been fighting and killing each other all over the world. Nations rise and fall. Kingdoms appear and disappear. I do not know the future of the United States, but I know that history has many examples of magnificent kingdoms and successful countries that failed. As a Christian, I do not serve the United States, I serve King Jesus. As a man of faith, I honor and obey the Lord of the universe, and no one will vote him out of office. There will never be an army or a group of nations that can destroy King Jesus. The Lord of Lords and the King of Kings will not be conquered. He will never be removed from his heavenly throne. Revelation 5, 11 through 13 says, "And I beheld, and there, and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.'" Well, that glorious eternal day is coming. But for now, we live in a fallen world. We live on a planet where nations war against nations for greed, for lust, for money, for land, or for power. At this very moment, there are U.S. troops overseas ensuring and protecting our freedoms. Many of them are college age, young men and women who joined the military for college money, or to learn a trade, or for an adventure, or simply just to get away from home. Right now, there are troops on patrol. Others are on guard duty. Some may be exchanging fire with the enemy right this morning. All of these men and women swore an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. We can live in peace and comfort because of what our veterans have done for us in the past and because what our military does for us now, every day. The fact is that a strong military saves lives. A strong U.S. military protects the innocent and defends the vulnerable. Only the most immature, inexperienced, naive junior soldier says he wants to go to war. War is terrible. What mature soldiers want is to protect their families and their country. What experienced soldiers want to do is to be strong enough to defeat an enemy, to stop the fighting and the killing. It may mean fighting or dying in a war so that others may live in freedom. These are the risks troops willingly accept when they volunteer to join the military. It's interesting to read in the Bible about people who were great examples of faith, but were also warriors, combatants, soldiers. As illustrations, think of Abraham in Genesis 14, when he fought the heathen armies and rescued the prisoners. Think of Moses and Joshua and the many battles they led as commanders of the army of Israel. King David was a man of God and the general of the Israeli army. Remember the Roman centurion in Acts 10 named Cornelius, who believed on the Lord Jesus and was baptized. Think of the Roman soldier who watched Jesus die on the cross when he said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." These military men did their duty. They lived honorably. They served courageously. And they loved their country. This morning we're celebrating God and country in chapel. The Veterans Day holiday is only a few days from now. Here at Appalachian Bible College, there have been many veterans who have attended this school. Some were in the military before they came here, and as veterans used their GI benefits to study for the ministry. Others attended ABC and then joined the military. And I know that there are several in the audience right now that are planning to do just that. What is a military veteran? A military veteran is a person who has served in the armed forces but is no longer serving in the military. Some veterans served in peacetime. Others served in war. All veterans gave up their freedoms to learn to fight and die if necessary so that others could live. Some defied gravity in aerial combat or flew through hurricanes to deliver supplies to the victims of disasters. Some crawled through the mud like a worm to kill an approaching enemy who was intent on killing them. Others lived in the belly of an iron beast called a tank. Some veterans served in a metal tube deep below the ocean called a submarine. Veterans packed their duffel bags, hugged their families, and left to serve in faraway places to defeat an enemy and to care for innocent victims. They were willing to kill, capture, or disarm the enemies of our nation before the enemy could kill, capture, or enslave you and I and our families here at home. Veterans do not want to be considered heroes. Most would say that they had a job to do and they did the best they could, and then they were happy to return home. But this morning I want to tell you about someone who was a hero to me, someone who saved my life while I was on military duty on a deployment in war-torn Bosnia. A little background. In the 1990s and early 2000, there was a civil war in Europe. The nations that were involved were Croatia, Montenegro, Bosnia, Macedonia, Kosovo, and Slovenia. The details of centuries of warfare in this part of the world is very complicated. The warring factions were primarily communists, Roman Catholics, and Muslims. By the 1990s, the United Nations had condemned the factions involved because of genocide and war crimes of unimaginable cruelty. United States troops were asked to intervene to separate the warring factions. I was a U.S. Army chaplain at the time, and I was sent into the war zone of the Balkans. In a land with centuries of ethnic hatred, we were sent in to enforce peace. Instead, we were hated by all sides. Almost every day, we dodged snipers, avoided landmines, and came under mortar attack. We discovered mass graves where thousands of men, women, and children were tortured, with many buried alive. And to this day, for the rest of my life, I don't know if I will ever be able to get that image out of my mind. But one day, my chaplain assistant and I were driving to an orphanage in Bosnia to deliver clothes and toys donated from churches in the United States. My chaplain assistant was a 20-year-old female from the Midwest. She was a Christian who joined the military so she could save enough money to go to college. She was about the same age as the college girls here in chapel this morning. I was driving the Jeep, and she was in the passenger seat with her rifle locked and loaded. We drove on a narrow dirt road through a village that had been destroyed by the war. Walls were soaked with blood and bullet holes, blood stains where civilians were lined up and shot. The narrow dirt road went down a hill to where a small flooded river crossed over the road. Lots of cows blocked the road as they were drinking from the muddy river, so we had to stop. I was sitting there in the driver's seat waiting for these cows to move in this village that had been blown up by the war, and suddenly I was attacked. A man came over to the Jeep, put his hands through the open window around my throat, and started choking me. I remember that his hands were very large, rough and strong, like the hands of a farmer or a laborer. He stank of alcohol, and he screamed at me in a language I didn't understand, and he began to squeeze the life out of me. I was helpless, as he was over me, had my neck in his hands, and I was strapped in a seatbelt below him, unable to defend myself. Without hesitation, my 20-year-old female chaplain assistant went into action. She took the butt end of her M16 rifle and smashed the man in the face with a bang! And he fell over. I was covered in his blood, and he fell down. And she said, "Chaplain, get out of here!" And I drove ahead with cows bouncing off the Jeep, and we got to the orphanage eventually and continued what we were planning to do. When I think about that incident, I think about that 20-year-old female chaplain assistant in Bosnia who was a hero. She saved my life. She said she was simply doing her job, what she was trained to do. She represents to me many of the veterans who served courageously, acted with valor and courage and decency, and then returned home to their families. But many never returned home. All gave some, but some gave all. The New Testament has a lot to say about honoring your nation. We have numerous international students here in chapel this morning. The principles apply as much to you as they do to us, who are U.S. citizens. The principles about obeying lawful rulers in Romans 13:1, or fearing God and honoring the king in 1 Peter chapter 2, or giving unto Caesar which belongs to Caesar, these are all principles that apply to all of us, whatever our ethnicity or our national heritage. This morning, in God and Country Chapel, we pause to honor those who have served in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guard of the United States in times of war and in times of peace. We pay due respect to those who have passed the blessings of liberty from one generation to the next. The surest way to keep peace going is to stay strong, for to be weak invites bullies and cowards to strike. And so I say to each of you here in the audience, but especially to those of you who stood a few moments ago when I asked if you were a veteran or part of a veteran's family, I say to all of us here and to your families and to anybody who may be listening to this recording later, I am grateful to be a citizen of the United States, and I am thankful to have been able to serve my country, and I would do it again. Thank you.